To start the meeting, can we adopt, can I have a motion for the adoption of the agenda, please?
Yes. All move.
Seconder?
Burton.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Approval of the minutes at the last meeting. Motion, please. Do we have a mover in the second?
Sure, I'll move to adopt the minutes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion is carried. Item 3, business arising from the minutes. The URHERE MASS. I guess, Tom, that's your department?
It's actually the town's department. Luke, do you have anything about that from the town?
Good morning. Yeah, I talked to Lynette about it, and I'm trying to remember what it was that the Parks Department was waiting for. So I apologize. I don't have the specifics, Tom, but I do know that it's on their radar. Lynette and I had a conversation, and there was something holding it up, and I can't tell you what that is off the top of my head. So I'll consider this a prod, and I'll ask for it again.
Okay, good. So item B, Hemsworth Trail tree planting.
How's that coming, Luke? That's the town.
Sorry, my apologies. I started to write Lynette an email. So the trees are in, and the trail completion just depends on the availability of work, and they're pretty slammed, or workers, and they're pretty slammed right now. So that is on the radar.
Okay. Any further discussion on that?
By the way, the trees have all sprouted. The buds have burst, and everything's alive.
Good. Okay, item C, the website, Brown Property Preservation Society website. Tom, I guess that's the one you wanted to address?
Yeah, and gaining all kinds of accolades on that, very good. I let the Coastal Douglas Fir Conservation Partnership know. They posted it on their newsletter last week. The Land Conservancy is aware. The museum is aware. Parks Trail Quality Beach Tourism is doing a link to our website. The Save the Estuary Land Society is aware. And our culturally modified trees team of Chief Michael Rakama and four archaeologists are all aware. So we're out there.
Okay.
Okay, Tom, a comment here. Have you notified stream keepers?
No.
Okay, it might be an idea because of the work that stream keepers has done on the creek, on Beach Creek. So last year they did an inventory of fish, fries, smolts, and cutthroats in the creek, and they're continuing that work. And I would also comment on the website if you could include a statement on the importance of that forest for the functioning of Beach Creek. I didn't see it there, Tom.
There is. Quite a detailed thing there in the Instagram.
Oh, in the Instagram. That's the reason I didn't see it, Tom.
I wrote that as kind of a teaching tool. And because we did that website for a meager $525, they were, somewhat limited in what they could actually do with the website.
Yeah.
So saw Instagram as an opportunity. So there's actually a great deal of information in the Instagram portion.
Okay. I see it there on the website. Thanks, Tom.
So if you click on each one of those photographs, you just click on the first one and it'll pop up. And now each of the 108 photographs with the story will pop up as you kind of scroll through.
Yeah, and you have to log in with Facebook or something on this.
Instagram.
Yeah, that's the reason I don't do Instagram, so.
That was free. It's all it takes is an email address. That's all you need. You don't even need a program.
We can take this offline. I have my reasons.
Okay. I'm on the board of Screenkeeper, and I was speaking to Pat Jacobson the other day, and Pat was going to make sure that Screenkeepers got that message about the new website.
Oh, okay.
And so I'll make sure that happens along with your Aerosmith Naturalist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's move on to item D, update on the Heritage Forest prescription for the management plan.
Luke, how's that coming?
So I feel like I'm just giving the answer, same answer over and over again, because we're just slammed and we have not gotten to the update on the management plan.
Okay, so just so the group is aware, we've got those two new tree prescriptions, right? The one on the wildlife tree cutting and the other one on the forest fire hazard, the fire ladders. And so what the town's doing is hooking that in to the management plan itself, and it's a larger kind of process. It's a legal document, so it's not just hook it in and be done with it. That's what's taking some time. Okay?
Okay. We're good? Okay, let's move on to the old growth Douglas First Lab display at the museum.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to present the town of Qualicum Beach with a check for $500.
What?
From the Town Driver Preservation Society. So we got that signed off last night. And so just as you recall, the society proposed that we contribute $500, the museum contribute $500, and the total cost of the slab was $3,392.42, so the town's picking up the balance. It's now mounted at the museum. It's under the kiosk, so it's out of the rain, it's out of the snow and that kind of stuff. Right now, if you go over there, there's a large piece of machinery out of the old powerhouse that's being renovated at the museum that's in front of it, so you actually can't really see too much. But the town did an excellent job of mounting that. And I wrote a sign, which I sent you guys, about the forest fire history as well. Counted the annual rings back and realized that the major forest fires occurred in about 1620, about 1750, and then there's been some ground fire history, you know, since then. But that was kind of interesting. Always meant to do that, and so that'll be on that new sign hung to the left of the large slab. It's a beauty. It's really, and it's the first thing you see when you walk in the gate at the museum, straight ahead. Down at the end is that huge Douglas fir old growth slab. So yay!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. We're good. Okay. Interpretive signage.
Yeah. Okay. So there's four interpretive signs coming. There's one regarding the fish population, and you've all seen the wording for it. I said it to everybody. There's one on fish population. Two regarding indigenous culturally modified trees, one cedar bark strip CMT, and the other one on Douglas fir bark cut culturally modified trees, and one on forest fire. I was waiting to count the annual rings on the big slab to figure out the 1620 fire and the 1750 fire and this kind of stuff, so that's on there. And it's now just a matter of heading out to the sign guys at Coombs and getting the signs made up and the town will do the install.
Nice.
And we pay for the signs. The Brown Property Preservation Society pays for the signs. And that's all approved. So we're almost there.
Any further discussion on the signs? Okay, the new metal bench.
Luke, how's the bench dedication policy for the town of Carlton Beach coming along?
So that was adopted in the last meeting, or they gave a green light. So the way that the town manages benches is going to be changing. You know, it's sort of what the last update is doing is it's separating the cost of the bench installation from the actual plaque itself. So basically what that means for people who want to dedicate benches is that the cost goes down. So that went to council in the last meeting. So it is moving forward. So anyone looking to dedicate benches with the cost is going down from would have been over $2,000 for what I'd refer to as the fancy benches, and now it's more on the order of like $1,200.
Okay, so just as we recall, it was the Buckham family who owns the land on Long Chester and a big chunk of Qualcomm Woods that originally had proposed to dedicate a bench. And we decided at a previous meeting that the town would put a bench in at the concrete slab next to where the barn stables used to be, and I've let them know about that. So they're just kind of right now waiting. They would love to get a dedication on that bench in the grassy open meadow where the barn used to be.
So question, I don't believe that one was voted on by council. Do you recall, Tom?
I think it was, actually.
Was it?
That was one of the things that went forward to a council meeting.
Okay, so I'll double check that, and, if council did.
It's on page 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was adopted.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll follow up with Arnold.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that under council and staff recommendations. Okay, that was one of our topics.
Rick?
If I can just jump in, there was the policy was adopted, but there was a bit of conversation around exploring longer-term sponsorships as well. So I think right now it's 5 and 10 years, but, 20-year, 25 years was also thrown out. So, I'm not sure at this stage whether that option will be available, but I just wanted to flag that.
Okay, because in the past it was 3 years. Like I think it was $1,800 for 3 years.
Up to 8 years.
Okay, well that's kind of interesting. So possibly extending the timeline for that.
Well, I believe the family was interested in a longer-term sponsorship, if I recall correctly.
It wanted a permanent sponsorship.
Yeah.
Really? That was their request, was to just pay to the bench, one shot deal. And we decided at our last meeting that that probably that wasn't a good idea, that it may be opening Pandora's box to a bunch of people saying they want to just dedicate a bench for the rest of time, sort of thing. Okay, Luke, so we'll wait to hear on the town on that?
Yes, sir. Just emailing Arnold right now.
Okay, moving on. The Forest Walk from the Len Conservancy of BC. I guess, Tom, that's your favorite too?
Yeah, so Karen Iwasel is the representative with the CLC. She's managing 260 covenants in the province of BC. She's a busy gal, and she's out there in the field somewhere. I think she's out in the interior right now, but I did send her an email just yesterday because We have this meeting coming up. She definitely wants to get out and get into the Heritage Forest and do a walk, do a tour, that kind of stuff. It's just, she's so darn busy. But she definitely has the intent to come as soon as she can.
Okay, good. Item K, forest maintenance.
Two things to talk about there. The April 4th extreme wind event from the southwest blew down four fairly large hemlock trees in the forest. The town got in right away and cut them out of the way of the trails and the fire access road, that kind of stuff. And also, I've been over to the gardens and the Berwick and notified both long-term care facilities about the wheelchair accessibility opportunity coming in from the Chester Gate. So they're aware, and they've got the town brochure with the map that clearly indicates that. And that's been it since our last meeting in February.
Okay. Any further discussion on that item? All right, let's move on to new business. Item A, Heritage Forest housekeeping.
Okay, we've got a guest speaker here today, Lynn Brooks. We were chatting with Lynn a little bit before the meeting. And Lynn is here representing Bank Around University Elder College Program. And Lynn would like to talk to us a little bit about the potential for utilizing the Heritage Forest for that BIU Elder College program.
Thank you, Tom. Yes, hello. I'm teaching another course for BIU Elder College. There's been such a demand, so much interest in trees in the last 5-6 years, especially, the real upwelling. So the course is entitled Trees. But it's about trees and forest ecology. And what I'm doing is a one-month-long program. There are two. A lot of people signed up. There's a long waiting list, and so there are two, each one being a Tuesday, four Tuesdays in a row. It started in April. The first session will go from April through into May. The second session is May into June. And there are 22 students signed up. That was the limit because we're walking and talking. It's mostly all outdoors. In fact, all of it is outdoors because it got shut down twice because of COVID. And I thought, well, if we do it outdoors, we've got a better chance that it can continue this time. So it's all come together well. We got hailed on the first time, rained on the second. It should be sunny next time. We'll see. But the talkers, I was warned that they're quite interested. So we're doing a variety of things. The first class was just learning about trees and forest ecology in general, sitting out in the wooded setting. Trees and the habitat, but also that trees provide habitat. And I had a mycologist come in for the last hour of class, 3.5 hours each time, to talk about the mycorrhizal connections among trees, different types of fungi out there, the algae, the lichens, all these things that colonize trees and depend on them. Fascinating. The last time we were out with an indigenous person, Sherry Reed of the Qualicum First Nations, who for again the last hour and a half of class talked about trees and all their traditional uses and traditional perspectives on trees. Again, really interesting. Next week we have planned seeing the film Call of the Forest. Well, half of the class is watching that, so 11 people will be doing that. Hopefully, the other half, and this is my request of coming at hand, I wanted to ask if it would be possible for the class to come 11 people at a time into the Heritage Forest to do forest bathing. In the film Call of the Forest, forest bathing is discussed, talks about all the health reasons that it's good for people to be out in the forest. And the question is, would it be possible for 11 students at a time to be with two forest bathing leaders to walk for, it would be a 2-hour time, and just quietly along the trail. Basically, it's walking through, I don't know if you've had the opportunity. I've gone through it once, and it is absolutely amazing. It really makes an impression on people. It increases people's awareness of the forest. about their own health, why forests are good to have locally and to enjoy them, and ultimately to preserve and protect them, I think comes out of all of these sorts of experiences. So it is a group of 11 people. They'll be quiet because basically they're quiet and meditating and walking and thinking and feeling. it would be along the trails only, and we would have a, you know, make the comment again at the beginning to make sure that they're not blocking anybody walking by with their dog or whatever it may be. So the dates would be May 10th, next week Tuesday, and it would be in the afternoon between, the first group would be there from 3:15 to, the first group would be there from 12:30 to 2:30 and then out. The second group then would come in at 3:15 and be there until 5:15. So that's 2 hours in the that afternoon. The same exact, well, the other half of the class is watching Call of the Forest at the Forum over in Parksville. The other session would be June 7th, and it would be an exact same repeat. A group of 11 people for 2 hours walking quietly along the path, and then 45 minutes later, the other half of the class would be there. So my request is, would that be possible? The purpose is for people to learn about forests, to learn about, in this particular, that day of the course, to learn about the values of forests for human health as well as for a home for wildlife and, you know, coexistence and the protection of forests so that all can benefit from their preservation. So that's my request. It is a group. It would be a quiet group. We're all in elder college, so we wouldn't be, it wouldn't be a bunch of rambunctious kids. We're happy just to hobble along. So my request is, would that be possible if we could utilize the wonderful trails out there for on those two dates, May 10th in the afternoon and June 7th in the afternoon? And if you have any questions or concerns, I'd really appreciate knowing to see if we can address that. One reason why Heritage Forest, too, because originally it was supposed to be, it was designed a long time ago, at the Englishman River Estuary, but one of the leaders of the tour is having severe difficulties with her ankles and can't really walk on gravelly type or hard ground, and the wonderful bark ball paths at the Heritage Forest allows her to be able to do that. So that's another reason why. Not to mention that's the first time I ever went forest bathing was in the Heritage Forest. Fantastic. It really does connect one.
Okay, discussion. Andy.
Okay, to me it sounds like a really good idea, and it doesn't sound like an overuse situation. I do have a bit of a concern with 11 vehicles showing up. Are they going to carpool it from Parksville, or are you busing them in, or what?
Some are carpooling with each other. I've encouraged them to do it, but again, with the whole COVID thing, people are a little bit concerned maybe about, you know, piling 4 people to a car. All I can do is encourage people to do that.
I don't think it's a big concern. I just see it, if it got really jammed up, then it might be a problem to others, but I don't really see it as a problem.
So Angie, just a thought on that. I'm with the Pagosa Walking Group.
Oh yeah.
We quite frequently have 30 people going into the forest on our regular walks, and parking has really never been a problem. Along Crescent, so not choose your every park.
Okay. Yeah. I see it from the Hemsworth side. That's why I'm more concerned, I guess. Yeah.
We'll be meeting at East Crescent at the main entrance there. And the other thing is, this is all volunteer. You know, the leaders are volunteering their time to do this. Of course, the instructors at VIU Elder College also volunteering. So just cover that.
I have a question for Cormac. 30 at a time through the Heritage Forest. We actually have a protocol, and that's why we're here today with Lynn, and the protocol is it's outlined on the town brochure that large groups are really to ask permission to go in there as a large group. We had this discussion a few years ago, and it was you know, we were getting requests for weddings and, you know, large groups. And so we kind of, like, on the town brochure that's there, it's indicated that any large groups really should come to the town and like Lynn is doing with the commission, just make sure that it's okay, basically.
Okay.
Anyway, I just thought I would bring that up.
Well, Tom, I'll certainly mention that to the Bagosa organizer. The way it works, for your information, is it's not a large group that goes through. Typically, there are several clusters, maybe five people, and everybody kind of segregates. So I walk with the men, for example, and there's about six of us that walk together. And so it starts out, but I will pass on that message to the walking organizer.
Okay, that'd be great.
I have a question more out of curiosity than anything, but with the forest bathing, do they bring chairs? Because 2 hours is a long time to be standing. I know there's some benches, but...
Yeah, good question. No, it'll all be walking quietly and standing. And they're a tough group. We've already had a lot of walking and standing, and nobody's keeled over yet. So. But no chairs. Just our seats.
Anything further on that issue? I'm not sure we need a motion or anything like that, do we?
I don't think we need a motion.
No. Is it not pretty much in accordance with the covenant anyway?
So, yeah, the quiet enjoyment of nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like a fit.
So, as a commission, do we have any objections to the proposal?
Not at all.
No? Okay. Okay.
Well, thank you very much. It'll be a great experience. I'm so excited about this, the participants being able to have an experience like that. So thank you.
Okay, good. Anything further on that? Okay, we'll move on, I guess, to...
Lynn has another meeting to go to, and so we thought we'd start out with her, and then she's free to go if she'd like to.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Well, also we're hoping just a quick add-in. With the fresh creek estuary land, we're hoping to learn from you folks how it is you're interfacing with the management of the heritage forest with the town and the community, because that is exactly what we're going to be setting up to manage the estuary land in the French Creek, because it will be owned basically most of it by BC Parks, managed by the RDN and a committee of concerned community people. So we would love to learn from your experience, because boy, that is such a success. Heritage Forest is fantastic. So thank you. All right.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to council recommendations.
Oh, actually, there's more housekeeping stuff.
Oh, sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
Okay. This Saturday, send an email out to the Brown Property Preservation Society. May 6th, we've got a vegetation cut coming up 10 a.m. To meet at the East Crescent Gate. And we had 22 people out in January, so chances are, you know, we'll have a good group for that. The main issue there is the holly. There's quite a bit of holly in there. Okay, there's been ongoing vegetation dumping. It kind of never stops, but right at the corner of Chester and Hemsworth, there's quite a large pile there, and Daphne and I keep looking at it. She lives in that first house there with Dennis along Chester, and it's actually it's getting to be a really big pile. And the other place is right at the garbage can at the metal gate at the Chester Gate. That has become a favorite dumping spot. Daphne, who lives right there, and she's a landscaper, she keeps loading that material up into her trailer and taking it to the dump. But what we've talked about is whether or not we should have a no dumping sign there. I don't know. It's just you would think if somebody sees that stuff is being taken away, well, I don't know, two ways of thinking of it. I guess that individual maybe thinks that if they leave it there, then the town's just going to take it away. So mission accomplished. They didn't have to spend $8 driving to the dump on Church Road in Parksville, and they got the town to deal with it. On the other side, I just don't understand it.
I think part of the problem is the cost. My son took 2.5 trailer loads of stuff out of my place because I had a whole load of things fall down in the winter and some yard waste, and I'll also replace my raised beds. That was heavy, but the total cost for that day was $140. $140. I mean, if I were the unethical sort, that trailer would have been up in the bush dumping all that stuff, which is horrible, because I never would do that. But all I'm saying is that I think that's why some people are doing more dumping. People don't have money, and they're getting rid of their stuff, which is sad. But I think the no dumping sign might help, but I've also seen pictures of stuff dumped next to no dumping signs.
So I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's right. We did that, didn't we?
I don't know. It's the same people, and they're doing it at night when they're not seen. On the one hand, it's more signs like no. But I know that when the town, did the Heritage Forest and got it all organized, they put that fence up along Hemsworth to prevent people from dumping along there, and didn't think that Chester, because at the time there was only Daphne and Dennis living in their house there, there was nobody else actually living there, but the fence didn't go in on that side, thinking it wasn't necessary. I guess two things. There's a discussion about a possible sign, or maybe even two signs, but then there is a huge pile there right at the corner of Chester and Hemsworth that, it's a pickup load, say. But is that something that Luke, the town staff, would be prepared to move out of there?
I can certainly ask and see whether maybe as a part of the shipping program then I can pick up. What kind of material is it? Like, is it
it's not really woody. It's
no.
It's like stuff underneath straw.
Oh, okay.
It's more green veg than shipping wood. There's some cedar boughs in there, but not much.
Okay. I think if you want to make a motion to that effect, then it would provide direction to Public Works if council adopts it. I mean, it sounds like it's a little bit more than just a casual pickup, so a motion would probably be warranted.
Yeah, it's a couple of people with rakes and shovels and a pickup truck and maybe a couple of hours of work. Something like that.
You want to make that motion, Tom?
Sure. How about a motion that the town staff remove the vegetation pile that's been dumped near the corner of Chester and Hemsworth?
Okay. Seconder?
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion is carried.
Well, there's a couple of sides to this, a couple of thoughts. You brought up the concept of fencing, and how has that worked along Hemsworth to prevent dumping?
It means they dump at the gate. They dump by the gate.
Or they throw it over the fence itself. It's interesting how people will take household garbage, like plastic stuff, and actually throw it over the fence.
Hmm. That's pathetic.
Yeah, it's really something. but on that, I mean, that's a rare occasion. Like, that hardly ever happens. But so basically, the fences work really well for the household waste, basically.
What about trying a sign on a temporary basis till they get the message? See if it makes a difference? I mean, if it's the same people, you believe.
If you're going to put a sign up, it might as well stay. The work's done. Mm. You know, like, I can't see much reason to take a sign down once it's up if it's saying no dumping. If the rule says it's no dumping.
If the material's being dumped at night, they might not process the sign in the same way, right?
Yeah.
Another comment, just a thought, is that I thought the comment earlier about the fact that it's a neighbor dumping it, or, you know, picking it up and disposing of it properly. I almost feel like that would, understanding that would have a bit more impact than, you know, thinking that the town is just dealing with it. And so maybe a more informal sign would be in some ways more effective, right?
Like, please keep your neighborhood clean?
Yeah, like, your neighbors are cleaning up your junk. Please dispose of it elsewhere. Yeah,
I don't think Dolly's has that sign.
No,
no.
But you could print it and laminate it, and it'd be fine for a while, right?
Well, another thought along those same lines would be to print a small number of let's call it brochures, or maybe just an information letter that is popped in the mailboxes. In a very targeted fashion, if you have any idea who's doing this. Just saying that this keep your neighborhood clean, dumping not permitted.
It's hard to say how far it's coming. Like, Daphne and I have talked about this a whole bunch of times. The reason why we think it's the same people is it's the same vegetation, like it's the same species, you know, kind of thing. And we're thinking it's, you know, coming out of a trunk of a car, because it's like small amounts each time versus like a big pile. If they got in the back of a pickup truck, they might as well go to the church, you know, dumping station. So it looks like small amounts, same species. And so it's hard to say how long, like, we're thinking somebody's driving to get there. So it's hard to say. Like, we've done the messages out to neighbors a few years ago. We did that, but in this case, we're thinking it's somebody with a car.
No.
Well, I'm thinking that one thing that I could do is get our exec for Qualicum Woods Residents Association to put something on Facebook about that, so that we can deter a few, perhaps. I think it's pretty widespread, because Pat Jacobson and I walked the property at Dogwood and Juniper before it was sold, and there was one area where somebody clearly had pampas grass in their yard and had done 3 consecutive years worth of dumping. That stuff does not break down, and we found the yard. Like, it was pretty clear that somebody half a block away loaded up a wheelbarrow every year and tidied up their yard and made the forest a mess. So it's hard to deter.
Another thought, Tom, again, this might be something we can talk about offline, is a trail cam to identify the perpetrator.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Well, and it's kind of extreme. You would think... well, okay, so what about the more temporary sort of sign idea as maybe a starting point? Because, we could print something up and plasticize it and put it on a wooden stake. Two locations, one at the big dump site at Chester and Hemsworth, and the other one down at the garbage pit. You know, like you say, Cormac, something a little more personal, like, you know, something about the neighborhood, and, you know, versus just no dumping.
Yeah, right.
Yep, that's nice.
We could try that.
So would that require authorization from the town to put a sign up, or is that something that you could take care of, Tom?
That would be okay. It would be a temporary sign.
Right.
So the town will work on that.
I'll do that.
Okay. All right.
And I guess the clearing of it, like the town picking up the heap that's there, has to be done before the sign goes up. Otherwise, it's, you know, not as effective as if you've got a nice clear area and saying, don't put your stuff here.
Well, on the other hand, it might be a really good demonstration to the people that, you know, are dumping, like, oh, yeah, okay. I didn't think about this. I'm really messing up the neighborhood here. Look at the size of my pile or something. I don't know. I'm just thinking sooner than later we should do the sign thing. Because there's fresh stuff out there, like, every other week kind of thing.
Okay.
We're okay with putting the signs up right away?
It's a good idea.
Okay.
You bet.
Anything else, Tom?
No, that was it. Housekeeping here.
So let's move along to council recommendations, item 5 on our agenda.
So there's Luke's 2 items.
Yeah. So all of those 3 were adopted by council.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I do want to add just something briefly, because I got a response from Lynette just a moment ago. So she says that Coombe Signs just has informed them recently that they can't do the graphics work to update it. They're just too busy. And so she's contacting Scott Signs in Parksville because they've done other signs for him. So anyway, apparently it's a very busy time for the sign makers. One of them can't do it, and she's reached out to the second.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
Just a question on that second point, Luke. So I wonder, okay, so on the on that 30-meter zone in behind the Palm Drive residence, we were kind of getting lined up to do that before the breeding bird season, and then it didn't happen, and so in talking with Lynette, the idea is now to leave it to beyond September to get the crew in there to cut the larger stems, the larger dead stems in that 30-meter zone in behind Palm. Do you guys have a list of preferred contractors? Like,
I don't think that they put that list together yet.
Yeah.
So, it's probably going to be, an ongoing process as well. So if there's a contractor that you're aware of that has been, you know, consistent and responsible in terms of doing work properly, you could always suggest that as the contractor to do that work that you're talking about.
Okay, because the one contractor that did come out that day to talk about that 30-meter area and stuff, he was really knowledgeable, and he was actually, you know, quite into it, I guess you'd say. Okay, so maybe I should just send you an email, Luke, just with the name of that company.
Sure, that'd be great.
Just to make sure you're on the list, anyway. I think that's it.
Is it? Any Okay. If that's the case, can I have a motion for adjournment?
Okay.
Seconder?
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yay.
Okay, motion carried. Thank you.